Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you on this rainy, drizzly, cold, damp, almost Memorial Day day?
I am very good. Thank you, Cindy, and how are you?
Good. Everything is really good. And, of course, we want to wish everybody a wonderful weekend coming up. And I do try to remind people that on Monday, on Memorial Day, the actual Memorial Day, which is May 25th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we all have to do that one-minute moment of silence that is actually, you know, put into national observation and for this particular holiday. But it's at 3 o'clock. Everybody just has to, like, take a moment from their barbecue, their hot dogs and their relish and their mustard, and just remember it, why we're celebrating. And it's not really a celebration. It's kind of a just remembering all those fallen soldiers and all those people that have died in war. So I always try to remember it is a really sacred occasion. And you know that, too. You've always... You know that, and you know it's one of those things we just want people to remember. Yes, it kicks off the summer, but it also is a very, very sacred day. And I think we talked about that last year. Do you remember? And you?
Yes, we did.
You know, we did, and it's like, I can't believe another whole year has passed. Can you?
I cannot, actually.
It just went really, really fast. And I don't know if you got a chance to read my latest blog, which is a lot of what we talk about on this show. And it was entitled Modern Women, That They're Publicly Emancipated but Still Privately Enslaved. And, you know, it's a little bit about the master-slave archetype and women, you know, kind of jumping to the tune of men, come here and come this close but don't come that close. And I had to write it because I said, we talk about that a lot on the show, and I said, let me just get that blog out there. So if you get a chance to read it, you can let me know what you think.
But I absolutely will.
It's been a recurring theme on the show, so I said, okay, let's do that. Now, I could see that my husband, who I haven't spoken to all day, I think he went on the sailboat today, if you could believe that, because it seemed like a cold day to sail to me. But
that's what I'm thinking.
You know, I'll pick him up if you want, and then you could screen, because we have a lot of calls.
I'll go screen the first caller while you're talking to TJ.
Okay, good. Hey, hi, TJ. You're live and on the air.
Hello, Cindy. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Are you on the boat?
Oh, I'm in John Heisek's living room. I've come back. I brought him some hot soup. I came in early. It was cold. It started to rain a little bit. And I'm working my way home to my lovely wife. I am going to bring some brown white rice and some Chinese tonight, okay?
Okay, that'll be perfect. And we didn't actually get to walk today, and I was going to walk with Kathy. We just talked because it was raining, so we didn't get to walk. I know you and I do the rain walk, but, you know, I didn't want to subject her to that.
John is here. Go to John, and then I'll let you go.
Hi, John. And John is a very dear friend of TJ's, and he's young and wonderful at 90, so...
Yes, thank you. Okay, we'll let you go, sweetheart. I love you. Have a great show. You're the best.
Hey, thank you so much, and bye.
Bye.
So, of course, it's always nice to hear from TJ and where he's been in his adventures today. Now, I know that my wonderful, wonderful co-host is screening someone right now, and I like when she screens because it helps with the readings a bit. And it's been a little hectic and busy week for me. I'm always trying to stay on top of everything and... you know, work on some blogs, work on some writing, because that's always important to me, as well as to do the readings. Now, Nicole, it looks like you're almost ready for me, I think. So we have a new switchboard, and if anybody could see it, it's like totally has all these little icons on it that I have no idea what they mean. You know, they do upgrade the site for us, but they don't explain. And I have to remind everyone, if you want to talk to us, you have to press 1. So if you're just listening, you want to just listen, that's cool too. But if you would like me to answer a question for you, then you need to press 1. And my good friend Jean Steele is the one who has pointed out that to us, that we no longer just have it being said automatically when you call and dial in. So, Nicole, are we ready, my dear, for... Yes, okay, I think she's screened here. Okay, Nicole, can you explain who's on the line? Okay, she's still not here. It says Ida, New York. Something happened a couple of weeks ago. Can you tell her what's happening with her ex? Will he contact her? Where is love going? Oh, obviously, Ida had a breakup. Okay, I'm going to hit Ida. You're live and on the air.
Hi, yes, we spoke a couple of weeks ago. How are you?
Good, that's what I thought. You're the same Ida. Okay, good. And you had a breakup, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you haven't heard from him at all since then?
Actually, I have, but very brief. Basically, it's strange because on Wednesday he texts me a song, I Think I Love You.
Oh, the Partridge Family?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's an old song. I Think I Love You. Uh-huh.
And that's maybe like a week before that. He told me, he just texted me to listen to the song 99 by Toto. It's not a very popular song. I mean,
and what were the lyrics in it? Because I'm not that familiar with that off the top of my head.
It's basically like, where did we go wrong? I don't want to hurt you no more. You keep coming back. I didn't think it would work out, but I love you.
Wow, that, now it's funny because music is the language of the soul, so sometimes we can get messages from our soulmates even if they're not sending them to us through music. We just hear a song and we know that they're thinking of us. This man, you know, I would advise you to say to him, and is what is your intention in sending these to me? Because, you know, commitment phobics have a very nice way of, just as we're trying to move on from them, sending us a text or doing something, resurfacing so that they sort of wine and dine us in a minute and we're back in the same boat that we're trying to get out of. So does he want you to respond to that? Texting is not a good form of communication. So if he texts you these things, it's almost like you need to talk to him, call him and say, well, what is this about? Have you had the nerve to pick up the phone and ask him, why are you sending me these things?
I don't bother to try to call him because I know how he is, you know. I did ask him via text. He really doesn't respond. I kind of take it like he is hinting at something.
Okay, you know, but mixed messages make you crazy. Are you aware of that? When people, you know, send us, I Think I Love You, and then don't respond. And again, that's exactly the blog that I wrote this week. The men are telling women, you could come this close, you could be my booty call but not my girlfriend. I can text you, but don't text me. I can
I text him when I want to text him. It's just that I'm trying to stay away as much as possible, not to seem so needy, you know.
Right, and again, he's keeping you so that, you know, he can still go about his running. And, you know, you're thinking, well, he's starting to come round to me. But, you know, I'm not saying you guys weren't soulmates, because there's a pretty strong soulmate connection here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how long were you with him altogether?
It's, like I said the last time, it's been on and off for about 4 years.
Okay. And, again, that's an awful long time for somebody to still saying, I think I love you. 4 years, you know you love me or you know you don't. So,
I think that if you listen to the lyrics of the song, it's also about fear, you know.
Right. And again, at this point, I'm seeing that he can continue sort of running. It's almost up to you how long you're going to be willing to do the song and dance. I mean, I would still advise you to, you know, when you know, say, I don't know what your intention is doing, you know, sending me this at all. Why aren't you asking him the pink elephant in the room? Why did you send this to me?
I have asked him. Like I said, he doesn't give you a straight answer.
Well, that's because he's a narcissist. Narcissists never answer the questions you ask. And, you know, again, you could say, thank you for sending it to me. But he's keeping the door open, and you're keeping the door open. And unfortunately, that keeps the universe from moving your life forward, because you're saying, well, I still want him, and I'm waiting. And so I don't know how long you want to wait for him. So maybe you need to put it in your mind sort of like a month from now, 2 weeks from now. It can't go on forever like this, because you're going to fall into depression.
Yeah,
depression,
I'm not really, I'm just not ready yet, you know. I will date again, and I've told him that. I will date again. I'm not ready right now. It's maybe in a month or so, you know. I'm just not ready for the nonsense.
Right, and again, he's just making sure that you know he's still around, he's still thinking of you. But that's a really common commitment phobic thing. They don't
mm-hmm.
let us go. You know, what's karmically correct is you either choose to be with me or you choose not to be with me. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't give me mixed messages. What I see is that you're going to have a soulmate. I mean, your life is going to move forward. You actually have a very good 5-year period opening up. And again, don't think he's changed. Don't think he's, you know, ready for commitment, because he's not. He's still doing the dance. He's still giving you, you know, telling you could come this close but not that close. He's throwing you a crumb.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at this point, don't you deserve something more than this?
Oh, I agree with you. I just want to know if he's scared.
Scared of losing you. He's scared of loving you. He's just afraid of everything. But,
everything,
you know,
yeah.
Men can go to war. How come they can't accept the gift of love you're offering them? It just stuns me that men are cowards when it comes to love oftentimes.
You know,
and
that's what I wanted to ask you also. I mean, this is the third relationship I've been in, including the one when I was engaged, where that's what I only attract men who are afraid. And I don't know if it's something that I'm doing wrong. It's just, you know,
well, first
that's what
of all,
I think
it's why I wrote the blog, because it seems to be prevalent. So it's like more men are like this than the other way. So
uh-huh.
It would make sense that you would perhaps get 2 out of 3 men being this type. 3 out of 3 is a little high. You might want to examine, do you have some closet commitment phobic issues of your own? That, you know, you chase after men who are afraid, and you ignore the red signals from the beginning, the red flags that they are afraid, and you continue to chase them, perhaps still having the false belief you can fix somebody or change them, and that ultimately you don't have to take the blame for this not going any further, because it's really them who ran. But think about, you're not karmically correct with this man right now, and I think you're having a hard time hearing what I'm saying. You're allowing him to come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, I would tell him, do not contact me.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get back together, you want to stick 2 feet in here, and you want to have a real relationship, that would be my first choice. But if you don't want mm-hmm. that, do not contact me.
Mm-hmm.
Just end it. End
mm-hmm.
it. And what's happening is you may not be wanting to be doing that, because, you know, you've still got 1 foot with him, 1 foot without. You may be just afraid of commitment yourself. And when we are afraid, we tend to draw people who are afraid. And what I think this third one should teach you is, well, I've had more than one soulmate, but they're all commitment phobic. So this time I'm praying for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to me and commit to healing. And
mm-hmm.
I want to be the same. And when a man gives you mixed messages, you don't have to accept it. I mean, why do we think if some man's saying, I don't want what you're selling, I don't want a committed relationship, I'm not ready for this. What are we not hearing?
Yeah,
because I
agree with you. I think that I'm going to change the person, I think, you know.
Exactly. And I think it's from you. You're a nice person. And nice people, really, we don't want to corner people. We're patient. We give them time. Okay, they'll get to know us and we'll change them. But I think you've seen the same pattern 3 times. We're not changing
yeah.
commitment phobics. Because the one trait that all commitment phobics have is they're narcissists.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care how they hurt others. They can look you right in the eyes, see your heart breaking, and they could still walk away.
I'm just curious. Do you think he's with someone else?
It looks like there's someone else here. It's not a soulmate. He would not be granted another higher version of love, but he certainly has someone else right now.
Is it an ex-girlfriend?
It looks like it's somebody he never fully let go of.
Yeah,
so he's like trying that. To do the same thing with you. He's got an ex he still holds on
yeah.
to. He's got you
uh-huh.
he still holds on to. So he runs from you. He runs from her. You know, mm-hmm. maybe there's going to be somebody else. So realize this is his modus operandi. He never leaves anybody. Mm-hmm. He always
yeah.
strings them along.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to know what he's up to, it's, the universe would do what's called smearing your face in crap. They let you get a text or something that he means to send to her and he sends to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you needed to see it, the universe will show you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why he's just, you know, as a, you know, a few weeks pass and you're starting to move on, he throws you a little, you know, a little bone and wait for me. And it's why I spent probably 12 hours to write a 3-page blog, because it took
mm-hmm.
me a long time to be clear on it. But what I was saying is, the sisterhood of women, we've allowed this. We've enabled men.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough women say, excuse me, I'm a good catch. I don't
mm-hmm.
do this dance. It's all or nothing. So
yeah.
if women would start to do this, men are all learning. They can have you. They can have somebody else. They can afford the people. And you, nice people, wait.
Yeah.
And he does have somebody else. Again, he's... Every time he gets really close to you, he gets scared and he runs. But he, how old is this guy?
He's 48.
Okay, that's too old to be running. He's not 20. His brain chemistry is really solidified. I mean, I've seen via Facebook some of my clients that had a soulmate 30 years ago, and he ran 30 years ago. Now, through the internet, they're able to reconnect 30 years later. For the first 3 months, he's all on board, and then he's running again. How often do you get a second chance at love?
Yeah.
And 30 years later, they're like 60, they're running.
Yeah. I told him on the last time I spoke to him on Friday, I said to him, you're not going to ping-pong me back and forth with your ex, because that's what I think he really is doing.
It's, I call it yo-yoing, ping-ponging.
Yeah.
They bring us back and forth. It is a pattern of commitment phobics. And in my
mm-hmm.
book, Grant Me a Higher Love, there's chapter, step 17 is whole, entirely on commitment phobia. And they're so predictable what they do. It's
mm-hmm.
not even, they're just predictable. And, you know, it's going to break your heart. It's also going to make you start being angry at yourself, which becomes depression. You're going to be angry at yourself for not having the courage to tell them, this is not acceptable. I mean,
I am angry
love
at
you.
Myself.
Thank
I
you.
Am.
Of course, you're angry.
Already.
You're not angry at him. Why not jerk me around? You're mad at yourself
for letting him.
Why
do
are
it.
They doing this? And that's why I'm saying, can you see how women are privately enslaved to men in their relationships?
Yeah.
They're liberated in work. They're emancipated in many ways, but somehow the men are still calling all the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really becoming astronomical problem. I mean, for me, it's how I make my living. I mean, I should kiss these men's feet. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they pay my you know, bills. But
yeah.
I would rather have a new problem on my feet to deal with than this same over and over and over pattern. I mean, women do it among each other in lesbian relationships. Homosexual men do it. Women do it to men. But it seems to be the majority is men doing it to women. And it is the age group around 48 to like 15. Okay, that's the range here. So
mm-hmm.
the 15-year-old men are doing it, the 20-year-old, the 30-year-old. But I think it's because women have allowed it and enabled it and enabled men not to grow up. So, you know that he does love you. It's not a question of him not loving you. And you don't have to stop loving him. But you have to sort of love him like a dead man with your heart, your soul, your mind, not your body. Don't let him communicate to you. And allow yourself to just move on and have another soulmate come your way. One who could
yeah.
commit to you.
I just don't understand, because he told me a couple of weeks ago, he kind of hinted that he might be with his ex. I mean, I don't know if he's saying it to make me mad, but when we were together, he would tell me that him and his ex had no chemistry. They didn't have a good sex life. Then he told me last week that he wasn't happy being there because she's got 4 kids and he was never married and he don't want the baggage. So I don't know what
and
he would be doing.
And of course, the fact that he's never been married at 48.
Uh-huh.
And there's one thing. about life. When you get married, and people used to marry young. I remember when I got married at 22, my husband and I used to fight like siblings because we was, that's how you learned, how to fight with your brothers and sisters. And then you learn to overcome that. You learn to grow up.
Yeah,
and you're forced to grow up because you have to worry about bills and another mouth to feed. And then when you have children, you start healing some of your issues. You stop judging your parents. That man's a very judgmental man, and he's so busy judging everybody, including his parents, and he's never going to be them. Yeah, because he's never going to have children. When you have children, you're going to realize, you know, sometimes, you know, even good parents can become a bad parent if a kid is really bad. You know, sometimes you're just... You have a bad day. You're not always a perfect mother or father, nor do you have to be perfect. You can be good enough. But realize he's never going to grow up, this guy. And if at 48 he can't decide to commit to love, what's going to happen is he's going to be sitting at a bar when he's 60 and somebody's going to say to him, "You look just like my grandfather," and he's going to fall off his feet because he's not a spring chicken anymore. And I don't think he has a comprehension how old he is at this point. But with his ex, they're sort of back. It's not anything. He's just distracting with her so he can, you know, have something to do. You met him online, you had said?
Yes.
Because he's still online. Have you checked out his profile online?
No, but I told him, I said, if I go online to start dating, I said, I'm sure I'm going to see you there. He swears up and down that's not the case.
Well, he certainly is still online, so... Know that it's not that he's looking for a soulmate love. He doesn't want that high of love anymore. He just wants somebody to distract. So let him find a low level of love that lasts 3 months, and then you hate each other, and then you get another one of those, you know, online. And but what you have to realize is you might have been afraid of committing. Were you ever married?
No, I was engaged. I was ready to get married. It's just that I don't think... We were together for 13 years. I don't think he was really ready to get married.
Well, why would you wait to be with someone for 13 years who didn't marry you at, like, the eighth year?
You know what? We had a lot of personal issues in between that time. I mean, it wasn't always cream and peaches. It's like being married because you know somebody for so long.
Exactly. And now that might have made you a little bit afraid of commitment, being with a man so long that didn't commit. So you probably didn't start out life as a commitment phobic. You probably did start out ready to commit. But there is a point when people don't take it to the next level within a few years, 3 or 4 to 5 years, usually around 5 years. It starts going into like you're married but not married.
Yeah, exactly.
So this time, you know, pray for one who can commit. I see good things for you. I'm sorry about this, and I'm going to try to take another caller. But
okay, thank you.
Call in and let us know what happens with him.
Okay, thank you so much.
And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Nicole, can you see this with this commitment thing with people? It's crazy.
Yes, I can.
For me to spend 12 hours on a blog, you know I had to be like...
I know.
Had to be something,
you know,
that I said... It's got to get out there.
It's sad just because people don't realize, you know. I mean, they don't get it.
And again, it's love is true love, true soulmate love. The love is so strong from the moment you meet that momentarily it does overcome fear. So for 3 to 6 months, people can be close. It's at that six-month mark when people start pulling away is that I need people to say, excuse me? Love is we get closer and closer, not that we get close and now you don't want this. And the minute somebody starts playing that game, they're still in the height of love at 6 months. You have a little more leverage to tell someone this is not what I signed on for and take 2 feet out and see if they don't get therapy at that point. If they don't, if you go on for 10 years, 5 years, 4 years, you've already enabled the person. And once you start enabling people, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. And eventually it's gonna backfire. So we have to stop enabling people, you know, stop living in that realm of fear. And it's really an astronomical problem right now. I mean, it's breaking my heart to see, you know, and I'm going to be fair to the men. I have a wonderful male client. He's a lawyer. He's wonderful. He's professional. He's, you know, loves this woman that he's been, you know, with for a few years, and she keeps pulling away. And he's offered her everything. A home, her dream home. You know, he's offered, you know, I want to be there. I want to take care of you for the rest of your life. I love you. I don't want to be with other women. I want to be with you. And she's running. Like, I can't believe it. I said, this is a man that, you know, he's charming, he's intelligent, he's handsome. Any woman would like, why can't he want me that way? And this woman can't commit to him. I just can't even believe it. I can't even believe it. And, you know, every day there's an email, what should I do? And I, and what I keep saying is, nothing. You can do nothing. Do not contact her. Do not offer her the whole world anymore.
Yep.
She doesn't want what you're selling. So give her some time without you. Let her go out in that dating world and see what men are like. Boy, she'll get a rude awakening.
Oh, yeah, completely.
So, Nicole, I see that you have screened someone else.
I do.
Who is
I
this person?
I have Stacy on the line. I have Stacy on the line. And actually, she had a reading back with you on May 6th. And she said that it was very, very helpful, but she's still looking for a little bit more direction, you know, especially, you know, regarding her son, who, as I'm sure you remember, has got special needs. And, you know, she just really needs to know where she needs to kind of direct herself and so that she can put herself back on the path that she's supposed to be on. So hopefully you can shed a little bit more light for Stacy and her son, and hopefully we'll have some good news in those cards of yours.
Okay, good.
Hello, Stacy. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Stacy. So
Hi,
you're, you have specific questions about your special needs son? And how old is he, by the way?
He's just 13.
Okay, so that's a hard age anyway.
Yeah.
With special needs or not special needs. And you have some decisions to make with about his education. Is that what you're mostly concerned with?
Yes, that and the fact that my husband and I are separating. And it's going to change our family dynamics a little bit. And I'm worried about my son's long-term future because he's
okay.
going to need some type of assisted living eventually.
And know that, you know, you're having a lot of anxiety in general right now.
Yeah.
And because you're separating from your husband and there's a lot of change, your level of OCD, which is normally, you know, the normal, everybody's got a 3 out of 10, what if this happens, what if that happens, if only I did this, what happens in the future?
Mm-hmm.
God is asking you to stop projecting so far into the future with your son.
Okay.
And it's almost distracting you from your anxiety. You know, it's a distraction. OCD is a distraction. We tend to think about something that's 5 years down the line that we don't have to think about today, and that you need to focus a little more on today, you know, getting yourself ready for the divorce, where you're going to live, how you're going to manage now.
Right.
And focus more on that and, you know, follow the steps as your son gets older, because how can you possibly know where he's going to be 5 or 10 years from now when you don't know what group homes will exist, what kind will, maybe things will change for the better even in that capacity.
Right.
But it's more like helping him through now, today. How can you have him see this divorce without drama and trauma? Can you do your best to have that so that he doesn't get more nervous? Do you know that he has some OCD, by the way, also?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay, so I know you have some. I could see it in the cards here. And
really?
What's a normal 3 level of worrying? Do you find the what if word, like what if this happens, what if my son, what if?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. What if is the form of worry and guilt form of OCD? It's not the kind where you line up bottles and you wash your hands. Okay. It's
okay.
A really smart kind of OCD. Only really smart people have this kind. Okay?
Okay.
And it's hard to diagnose because everybody has it. So if you go to a psychiatrist, they're really big OCD. So how are they going to pick on what yours is? I mean, yours is 10 times better than theirs might be. But it's when change happens, OCD kicks up because OCDs don't like change. They like the devil they know, which is why you stayed with your husband so long.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you're leaving the devil, the OCD, which is normally 3 or 4 level, and you always want to keep it below a 5 because when it goes above a 5, it starts to be a problem. We can't sleep. We start obsessing about everything, and it really can make
us having trouble sleeping lately, actually.
That's the OCD kicking in. It's burning
yeah.
It's burning down your serotonin levels, which then burns down the melatonin, and all of a sudden we can't even sleep, and we're exhausted. And the mind doesn't shut down, and what you're doing is you're giving into the OCD. The cure for OCD is the same for alcoholism, by the way, because most alcoholics are OCDs. OCDs can't do anything in moderation. So if they self-medicate with alcohol, they really get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that OCD goes away is if you're drunk. You're too drunk to worry about anything. You're drunk. Heroin's another good choice. The only thing you have to worry about is heroin. That's not the best solutions here. So realize that your OCD is getting the better of you, and the longer you indulge in it, which I don't want you to what if this, what if that, for more than 5 minutes a day.
Okay.
Or if only I'd left my husband 5 years ago. If only that, don't look back and don't look forward. God gave you enough on your plate to take care of today. You need to take care of what's on your plate today with your son, what he's doing in school today. You need to concentrate on readying yourself for the divorce. You know, are you planning on staying in the house or are you leaving the house?
I'm trying to stay in the house.
Okay. So, you know, that's good because that's not shaking his world too much. And I
right.
think that's really,
right.
really good.
And
for
we
you,
agree upon that.
I think that's really good for you too. But you need to, you know, you're worried, what if I can't find another person? What if this is
yeah.
the wrong decision? What if I really could fix my husband? If only I didn't marry him in the first place. What if I don't have enough money when I'm 80? What if my son, when he's 50? God is saying, how am I going to give you these answers when we don't know what is in store in the world 5 years from now? So anything that has to do with any more than a few months to a year from now, stop thinking about.
Okay.
Because that will take care of itself. The laws of attraction work by visualizing yourself really happy a year from now, your son really doing well in school. Wish your ex-husband golden bridges. Good things for him, too. Make everybody happy.
Okay.
See yourself with good money and keep seeing those things. What happens is OCD sabotages the laws of attraction because it's negative. It's always seeing negative.
Okay.
It's always negative. So you have to get rid of that mindset. And when you put your head at night, at the end of the day, you have to say, I've done all I can. I've done everything I needed to do today. I need to rest. And you need
okay.
to literally start shutting your brain down. You might want to do a little bit of, you know, get a CD on breathing that, you know, you breathe, you hold in for like 8 seconds and you breathe out for 8 seconds and you just close your eyes and you listen to it right before bed.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of get, you know, yourself in a more meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is your OCD, if you keep giving into it, it's going to be like a 7. Now, OCD is a neurotic condition, but when we let it go to an 8, we're psychotic, okay? In other words, picture an anorexic in OCD.
Mm.
At 60 pounds, she thinks she looks good. You can't tell me she's not out of her mind. So
right.
we never want to get when we're not seeing reality, and that means focus on the now, focus on the today. Don't obsess about your son's future. You know, no, you're second guessing some. It's a second guessing disease, OCD, and you're
mm-hmm.
starting to second guess. And you know, there's a little bit of depression in your cards here too. By the way, I don't know if you're
yeah,
feeling
I feel that.
That
too, because I've what I spoke to you about before is I reconnected with a friend that I started talking to, and now I think I have feelings for him, and I don't know where that's going, and that's confusing me. And
again, remember you just heard the last caller and you heard the blog.
Yes, I know. I was just listening to that.
It's been haunting me that, and finally God said to me, Cindy, you have to sit down and tell women men cannot call all the shots. You're a good catch. And now, of course, you're feeling depressed. And again, as I tried to explain to you, the man that's usually brought when we're trying to leave our husband is a transition soulmate.
Right.
He's one who can't commit. There's no knight in shining armor going to rescue us. Give up that
right.
illusion. But he's here like, you know, your husband became like heroin. You're addicted to him. He's not good for you. We go back for more. This man's like, now you're on Suboxone. Okay? He's
mm-hmm.
something to lean on. You're going to eventually have to stand on your own 2 feet without a man for a little while. And that
right.
is in the, that is in the land of terror for women. Because we have been brainwashed to believe any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, dumber than a donkey, is better than standing on our own 2 feet. So you really are in the collective fears of women right now. So I'm not surprised you have anxiety, depression, you can't sleep, you're like, your skin is jumping out of your skin. Because women have been brainwashed, jump out of your skin without a man. Jump out of his skin. So what we have to do is go, nope, I can handle this. I can do this. I'm a big girl. I'm a grown-up. I'm putting on my big girl pants. And I'm getting up each day, and I'm taking care of what needs to be done in the house, with work, with my son. And it's behavior modification to the extent you're focusing on the now.
Okay.
And you got plenty to do today without worrying about what's going to happen to your son 10 years from now.
Right.
And, you know that your son is a good boy, by the way. Do you see that with him?
He is. Yeah, he definitely
okay.
is.
He has a good heart. it's a little unsettling for him to have his ritual broken up, because OCD is a very ritual. They like everything the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But OCDs fight the nature of life. Life is, we're not in control of anything. Give up the illusion we're in control of anything. Let go and let God. And get used to change. Life is change. Mm-hmm. So if you could fake it a little bit with him.
I have. OCD, I've tried to introduce him to change so he does adjust to it.
Good. And he's an empath, because all OCDs are empaths, and special need people are always empaths. He can feel when you're nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So you're being asked, you have to fake it a bit. That it's all good. I'm good. It's good. We fake it till we make it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And your cards are really very good. This other man, the one that's jerking you around, that's going to continue. He's going to run a little bit. He's really scared. Again, the men can go to war. They can't go to love. So
I mean, I think he's trying to be a friend to some extent because he knows what I'm going through. But he also knows
Do you need a friend? Do you need a friend? We'll talk about the ladder of love. Soulmate love is one ladder. Friendship's another. You can't be on the friendship ladder if you want to be lovers.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to hear friends talk about their love life and who he's sleeping with and what he's doing. Do you want to hear any of that?
No, but he's married, so.
And of course. So, I mean, that's even worse because in my blog, and I wish you would look at it, it's on my
I will.
Why good people can't leave bad relationships. I said, women, we have to boycott men. We cannot have relationships emotionally, sexually, or anyway with a man who's married. He's chosen his wife. Let him leave her without drama and trauma. He's not leaving her for you. He's leaving her because that marriage has not worked for a long time, as we discussed in your reading.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can't allow him to have his cake and eat it too. It's karmically very bad to do.
Mm-hmm.
The universe is frowning on women. And my clients who keep getting these men who can't commit and keep getting this, I said, you're getting bad karma for having had a relationship with a man who was in a relationship with another woman. God is punishing you. So I don't want God to punish you. I want you to be like, we've been brought. He knows where I am. We reconnected. We feel that soulmate. He needs to, like, you know, the only reason he could probably stay with his wife is because he has you and her.
Mm-hmm.
Without you, he probably can't go home every day. But it's enabling him. So, again, yes, you were brought. You know, there's a... the Song of Songs in the Old Testament talks about, you know, praying that love not be brought before its time. I mean, this might not be ready for now, but it's been brought before its time, and God knows what time it is on the planet, so it's never the wrong time. But it isn't going to sit well with you. You didn't leave one husband who thought he was your master to be with another one who's going to call all the shots.
Right.
So it's women reliving the women's liberation movement in their own bodies, in their own lifetime. It has been historically extremely hard for women, extremely hard. And, you know, I think we're going backwards a little bit. We're not going forward. Your depression is part of the spectrum of OCD. OCD has a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression. Again, if you're going to sit there and what if it and look back and look forward and obsess about this man, you know, what if he doesn't leave his wife? But, well, you can't control him. There's not a damn thing you can do about that.
Right.
But what he can do is say, I'm not going to be part of that game. And, you know, you don't need him to be your friend. You know, go out and meet some new soulmate friends that are women. Sign up for a Zumba class, any kind of class that you can meet some new women, new friends. Women have to start being better friends to each other and there for each other. Because oftentimes what God will do is bring a soulmate female friend to a woman who's trying to get out of bad male relationships. And
mm-hmm.
funny how women friends know how to treat each other with respect, with kindness, as equals. And maybe you need to sort of have that relationship to prepare you for this new soulmate who will be coming. Again, I'm not saying it's over with the married man, but as long as you're going to, like, settle for that, and maybe that's the level of love you can handle right now,
right,
of relationship.
Because I do feel a connection to him. I mean, I do feel like at one point he was my soulmate or is or whatever.
And I see that, and I don't doubt that. But again, 1% of people maintain soulmate love.
Right.
Pretty frightening.
Yeah,
and I don't think
that.
You want to waste too much time. What your son would really need, the best thing for his future, is for him to see what a good relationship looks like, and for him to have a little better role model of a male than his father. It's, I mean, his father's not the worst father. Historically, he's probably better than most. He doesn't beat him, burn him, molest him. He loves him a little, and he feeds him. It isn't a big criteria to be a good father historically, but I think he would need a man who's a little more understanding of him.
Yes.
And who doesn't, like, berate him and bully him. And so that's what the universe would like to bring for you. And I'm glad you called in, because sometimes you just need a dose of kind of hearing, it's all in good time. Patience. Your karmic lesson right now, and all people who are dealing with things they can't control and people they can't control, is patience, endurance, perseverance, fortitude. That we can survive, and that everybody wants I want an answer now. And whenever we run around wanting an answer right away, we get an answer, but it's always the wrong one. And then a year later, 5 years later, we got the same situation again.
Right.
So, you know that things look really good in the future. I do see a nice man for you, a loyal, trustworthy man. You actually have two husband cards showing up, not that it represent your husband is not showing up as a husband, your current husband. He's showing up as nothing you want to hear, like a manipulator.
Okay.
But now, whether it's going to be the man that, you know, you're talking about that's married or another man, it depends on what he's going to do and if he's going to step up to the plate. They never punish you for doing what's karmically correct. And what's karmically correct is to tell him, this is not healthy for us to have a friendship because we have an emotional connection. It's not good for me and it's not good for you. So let's just kind of cut this off. And, you know, if you leave her, not for me, but because you know you need to, and if I'm still here, then we can connect. The universe will not consider that you're the one that ended the relationship. His actions ended it, his inability to move his life forward. If you stay the way it is, you know, God may have to bring you another man who's a commitment phobic. I don't, how many times you want to do this dance?
Yeah.
I mean, it's awful. Again, your son, you know, children that have special needs are always a little bit more divinely guided over than other people. So trust that the universe, you know, will open doors for him and find him the exact place when he needs it. So, you know, just a little bit more depression in here than I'd like to see in your cards right now. I didn't even see that much when I read you this on the 6th, by the way.
Yeah, no, we didn't talk about it.
Okay, I'm seeing it here. Okay, so depression is anger turn inward and a feeling of hopelessness. There's nothing hopeless in your cards. If you go on back to kind of feeling like men are going to call all the shots in my life, I would feel hopeless with that too.
Right.
And I see just you crying at night, not able to sleep, anxiety. You know, at the end of the day, you say, I did all I could. I'm putting my head on the pillow. God, you know, let go and let God guide my steps and try to get more sleep, because if you're not getting your sleep, then the depression becomes just part of not getting sleep too, by the way.
Right.
I can never not get sleep. If I don't get 8 hours sleep, and I prefer 9 if I can, I'm depressed with 7. I need that hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
do too.
I need it. I know, and I knew that since I was a teenager, that if I didn't get my sleep, I was not a happy camper.
I mean, I just want to get back to feeling like myself again and being that.
But you want to be
person.
A better yourself. We don't want to be an old self. We want to be
no,
a better version
right.
of yourself.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about? A much better version of yourself. And that's a woman that can stand on her own 2 feet without a man. And, you know, I tell people, I am not a person who doesn't walk the walk. I had to do everything that I preach. That's how I know it. You think I know it? I know because I've lived it. I've been there. I've done everything that I speak of. But I have a wonderful life, a career I love, you know, family I love, a wonderful husband. And that all manifested when I had to stand on my own 2 feet for a while.
Okay.
And that's something that, you know, I try to be a living testament that what I'm teaching works. And, you know, sometimes if you're going to a therapist or a person whose life is really in a bad place, why are we listening to these people? Or we're getting advice from our friends who are miserable. What are you taking advice from miserable people for? Is that the life you want? Don't listen to miserable people. Don't listen to people say, well, you know, suck it up. You know, this is life. You know, this is what it's like. you know, divorce is for people that believe there's something better out there. And you have to have courage to embrace that. And, of course, I don't think at this stage in your life you expect it to be a paid one again.
No.
And again, but the greatest love affairs are happening to women 40, 50, 60 and over. They've relived the women's liberation movement. They've done what their mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers should have done. They've divorced. They've stopped settling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the real life comes. And, you know, I see a lot of joy in the future. Just try to get a little more sleep. Try to go to sleep a little bit earlier tonight. But do maybe just do a little breathing before you go to sleep, holding your breath for like 8 seconds and let it out for 8 seconds and concentrate on your breath for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And you'd be surprised how that lowers your blood pressure and it makes you sleep better.
Okay.
Good luck to you and thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Cindy.
Happy Memorial Day. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have Keisha now. Have we ever spoken to her before, Nicole?
Yes, I believe we have spoken with Keisha before, Cindy.
Now,
and,
did you see
Keisha's
two women in a row, by the way, with the same thing with men that not committing?
Yeah.
It's
the trend right now, and I'm hoping that Keisha is going to break this for you because Keisha,
good,
too, has got a particular love interest, and she's got some questions about said interest. So
okay,
she's calling us from PA, Cindy, and can you please give Keisha some advice on her love life?
Good. I would love to.
Hello, Keisha. You are on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Keisha. So is this a love interest, a relationship? Is it well, explain what your love interest is to us because it means different things to different people.
It's like at the beginning. We're just kind of dating. I just wanted to know where you might have seen it going.
Okay. And how long have you been sort of dating?
I would say a couple months, but I knew him for a while. It wasn't really like dating. It was more like I met him a couple times and he tried to, you know, he was flirting, but I kind of like rejected him. And then I finally gave him my number. And I think I kind of liked him.
Right. You know, he seems like he's a nice man. He's not, you know, this is a nice man. He has a little bit of commitment issues too. Are you aware of that?
I didn't hear you.
He has some commitment issues as well. You know, do you want to take this to the next level? Do you want it to be more than dating, or is that what you're happy with?
I like him. But, you know, I'm not trying to pressure nobody to do anything that they're not trying to do.
Right, because you've lived long enough to learn that, haven't you?
You know?
Yep. This is actually a year of love. When is your birthday? You don't have to give me the year, but the month and the day.
February 3rd.
Okay. By the time you get to the next February 3rd, I mean, it looks like you're supposed to have, a real love life going on, whether it's with this man or not. He's been married before, by the way.
I'm not sure. You could be talking about the other guy.
Okay, because there is showing up two men. Are you still seeing someone else too?
Yeah, I'm not really seeing. I mean, he's there. Put it that way.
You haven't closed the door on him completely?
I tried, but you know, I don't know if he thinks it's closed or not. So I don't know what.
No, he doesn't think it's closed. I mean, this man, you know, he's ready to surface at any minute right now. Now, with the other man, you've been dating him a couple of months. What do you talk about that you don't know if he's been married?
Well, I know he's not married, but more or less like a long-term relationship.
Okay, and is he still seeing her that you know of?
Okay.
It doesn't look like he's – looks like there's somebody else still in his life. And how often do you see him?
I'll say like every week or so.
Okay, and what does he do when you're not seeing him?
I'm not sure. That's why I was just
saying. Right, that's what I'm saying. You have a right to sort of ask. I mean, you know, you guys don't talk about being exclusive or anything like that. You haven't had that talk. You haven't had the talk like.
Well,
you know, we're dating only.
He tries to cover it up for me some type of way.
He says what?
Maybe.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. It's breaking
he
up.
He I don't think he tells me everything that's going on. I've asked him, and, you know.
He doesn't. And again, if it's casually dating, then, you know, that's one thing. But if you're sleeping with a person, you have a right to know who they're sleeping with and what they're doing, because that could ultimately bring you some venereal disease. So these are questions that have to be asked. I mean, point blank. I mean, I tell women before you, you know, you drop your drawers, you ask, you know, I don't sleep with people who are sleeping with other people. Let's get this clear. But because we've gotten that same thing that I've been talking about all night, where the men are calling all the shots.
Right.
You know,
right.
They manipulate. They don't tell the whole truth. They dodge the bullet. They don't, you know, they don't really tell us stuff. And if you don't ask, they're not going to tell.
Right. So he is still seeing his significant, well, ex or whatever that is.
Right. It still is showing up, or another woman, whether it's her or somebody else. There's another, it could be even two people. I'm just saying men are kind of juggling a lot right now. And, you know, it's just, this is going to go on much longer, I think, you know, when people date 2 or 3 months or they're seeing each other, you got to have the talk. I mean, unless you're happy with this, then there's not a problem.
Right.
I don't think you would be calling in if you were happy with it, by the way.
Right, right. Right.
So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with casually dating if that's what you want. But if you want this to lead to something else or more, then, you know, you have the right to ask, where is this going? Are you seeing other people? I don't ever think it's a good sign if a man only wants to see me once a week, because most men have a better sex drive than that. They would want to come around a lot more. And if they're not, then what are they doing for sex?
Right,
either
right.
They're masturbating to porn, which becomes an addiction and a monster, which is not good, or they're seeing somebody else. I mean, a lot of times people say, well, they work a lot, they do this. Normal men have a pretty good sex drive. And, you know, so I think he likes you, he respects you, he doesn't disrespect you. I mean, I think he thinks you're smart and you're a good catch. It's none of those things, you know what I mean? He likes you. But again, you're not demanding more from him. And it might be that you have your own commitment issues. Maybe you've been hurt, and this is the level of love you could handle right now. But this could go on for a very long time with this sort of casually dating thing. So,
what do you see with the other man coming up? You know, this is another one that's just around, too.
He's another one that, you know, he's not going anywhere totally. He wants you. But you seem to be drawing men who sort of can come and go as they please. And, you know, the other guy, you know, he'll probably contact you in a week or two or whatever and I want to start over the whole thing and then run again. You know, just know he's still showing up pretty strong in the cards. Does he text you or speak to you or anything? Is that what he does?
He does stuff like that, or he'll have family members try to contact me and stuff like that. So he'll find out what I'm doing.
Right. I mean, he's keeping tabs on you. I mean, you know, he'll keep running as long as he thinks you don't have anybody. If he found out you have somebody, then he's going to come back and whine and dine you, and then you'll end up with the same broken heart. So know that, you know, it's up to you if you want something more. If women want more from men, they're going to have to start asking for more. Because men aren't going to give any more than they have to give. I'm not saying older, wiser souls. They know that they value love. But I'm saying we've got an epidemic of boys in this country, the men that are boys and behaving like boys. And you're a nice person. You don't pressure people. So people, and you know, could think they could come and go. With the other man, the one that had been married, how long was he in your life or in and out of your life? How long was that going on for?
I would say 5 years, and it's not really him. It's me that'll leave him. You know what I mean?
Right, because you had
it's
enough.
Like but he won't let go neither. Like, he'll try to keep tabs on me.
You're a good catch. Relationships work in 5-year cycles, and the universe is saying something is been there for 5 years. It should be a relationship. And it should be solid.
I think it is in his eyes, because he'll tell people that, like, you know, that she's not available, but that's not how I feel. You know, I'm still obviously I'm not happy with him, or I wouldn't be dating other people. So.
Right, and he had his opportunity. You know, he, of course, you're a good catch, and he regrets it. But I don't see him stepping up to the plate. It seems like you've got more of the same man here, a man who you're going to be doing this dance for 5 years. Do you want to do the dance for 5 years again with somebody?
I don't. I left 3 years ago.
Okay, that's why it's almost like, you know, at the three-month mark is a good time to start asking people, what are we, where is this going, what do you want?
Right.
You know, and that, you know, I think, you know, are you, I believe you're seeing someone else, we don't see each other enough, what's going on? You don't judge it, but, you know, if you're sleeping with him, you'd better know who else he's sleeping with. That's practicing denial, and I'll say that denial doesn't prevent us from getting disease, unfortunately. So, you know, you don't want the wake-up call a hard way. He feels a lot of stuff for you, by the way. He does. It's not like he doesn't care about you or like you, but sometimes people just can't step up to the plate and grow up. And
well, that's fine, but, you know, just let me, you know, find, you know, do what I want to do. It's like he's the type that he'll try to pressure you into doing, controlling, basically. Try to pressure you into doing what he wants you to do. And that's
right.
Where me and him, that's where I left, because I have to be me. That's
right.
Why I don't pressure people, because he did it to me for so long and it was, like, so irritating.
Right, and again, pressuring is one thing, but if you're in a relationship where it's, you want to be mutual, like if, so again, if you want to just, you know, see this man and enjoy him, but, you know, until it's something more permanent, keep looking. keep looking.
Right.
You know, don't give up looking. And then if, you know, you should find someone else, don't feel bad that, you know, you're not seeing him anymore, because he had his opportunity. I mean, watch the old 1940 movies, like on Turner Classic. They married too quickly, no doubt. They met a week later, because women weren't going to give you sex if you didn't marry them. A week later, the men married women. They saw a good catch, and they wanted her. I'm not saying we should go back to that, but we've gone the other extreme. Why, if you have a woman that's, you know, nice and kind and you know, your dream woman, why are you leaving her out in the market so long? It doesn't make sense. Unless you're so afraid of love, and you know, if she finds someone else, you'll be off the hook. So, you know,
yeah,
know that
he takes boyfriends off before and everything. Like, I have to, if I do get a new boyfriend, he can't find out about it. You know what I mean? So,
right, exactly.
Like,
so
I'm
that's
like
when,
in a relationship, but I'm not.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. What it is it's casually dating, and then you can casually date anybody you want. Because,
right.
So you have a choice to either ask him where it's going. You want more. If you're sensing he doesn't want more, it's a waste of your time to say it. Then accept this as a casual dating experience. But if someone else asks you out, go.
I
not
agree.
Your ex,
yeah.
Though. Not the 5-year ex, though. We don't want him anymore. Just close the door on him.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
okay.
We're at the end of our show, and thank you for calling in. I want to thank Nicole and thank you for sharing your story with us, Keisha.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Nicole?
Yes,
my
ma'am.
My darling, before the show started, I asked you how you and your soulmate, Lisa, were doing, and you said great. And we talked about how we don't fight with our mates, because we do, what big C word did you use?
Communicate.
Yes. I think there's a lack of communication going on between people. The question is just stop dodging, like walking around the pink elephant. Ask people. Expect an answer. And if they don't answer you, then that's your answer. It's
I think that
plain
people,
and simple.
You know, as time has gone on, I think that people have pretty much conditioned themselves to be more private than they should be. And they feel that by asking a question that it's also automatically going to deem them dismissive, you know, or like dismissible in whatever relationship they're trying to maintain, unfortunately. So, yeah, I think that everybody, men and women, need to just, you know, kind of open your eyes and say that, you know what, if you're going to put your heart on the line, then certain questions come with that. You know, there are certain responsibilities that the person that you're going to be entertaining is going to have, and answering important questions like the ones that, you know, you were telling Keisha about just now is part of that.
Exactly. And not to be afraid. I mean, maybe we don't ask because we're afraid of the answers. But that's denial.
Yeah.
And my job here is denial is one of the worst mechanisms we can practice. Because life comes back to haunt us when we deny things that we really do, need to see and address. So I'm glad that we had a lot of the similar kinds of calling today, you know, and people just not knowing what they are to each other. I mean, that's probably the worst place to be when you don't know what it is and you don't know and you're afraid to ask. So I think we just need a little bit more communication, and we can't stress that enough.
Yep.
Well, Nicole, I hope you have did you have a 3-day weekend or do you have a 2-day weekend?
No, actually, I have a 3-day weekend.
Oh,
so, yes, so Lisa and I are going to be going away this weekend for Memorial Day, and that's it. We're getting a little bit of downtime, so it'll be nice.
Good for you. Well, thank you, and we'll speak to everybody next week, and thank you for calling in.
And thank you, Cindy.
Bye, Nicole. I love you. Bye.
I love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.